Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox. We will find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome again, everyone, to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon.
And I'm your favorite game designer and professional food taster. That's right, it's me, Ara.
And my name is Rich.
Rich is here, too. I'm glad you're finally
coming. I burned
coming.
The rope.
Did you already burn the rope?
I burned it.
Wow. How long did it take you to play that game?
Beat the game? A minute and a half.
All right. We're going to keep that in mind. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes.
Can I play again?
You can play again if you want.
Yes! Well,
wait, do you not have the sound on?
No, I don't.
The best part of that game is the credits.
All right, I'll turn the sound on during the break they don't have to listen to it.
Just play your little heart out.
I won't listen to you guys, and I'll plug the headphones into my computer.
Okay. Do it, seriously, because the best part is the credits.
I'll be back in a minute.
All right, cool. So we do a radio show about the video game industry. Sometimes we talk about games. Sometimes we talk about design or whatever we feel like talking about. If you want to visit the show online, go to chatterboxgameshow.com. You can also email Ara and I at araoralon@chatterboxgameshow.com. And, of course, you can even join into a live chat at the website. If, of course, you're listening live and we happen to be on, if you're listening over podcast, that's cool, too. Just, don't expect us to be there when you are. Now, we've got all sorts of stuff we want to talk about this week. There were a few things we didn't get to last week.
Dude, I got like 5 games I wanted to talk about. This is unprecedented.
And I got Boom Blocks this week. That doesn't seem to faze you at all. It's a really good game.
That's the Spielberg thing.
Yes. Well, this, you know, executive produced by Spielberg. But it's actually, according to Metacritic, it's tied for 9th place best Wii game ever with Super Mario Galaxy. So, like, it's rated pretty well. It actually got 100 by several different rating groups that we've heard of, like IGN or whatever.
Okay.
Actually, I don't know if IGN was it. They might have given it something else. Anyway.
Yeah, that doesn't really faze me either.
It did really well. Now, I played it. I have some concerns about it. I thought it was going to be more... You know how, like, Tetris is always the same, whether you're playing on the hard level or the easy level or whatever? Like, it's always the same game.
Right, just faster.
Yeah. I mean, there might be some slightly different elements, like the speed or something like that. But in this game, it seems there's just different types of gameplay. Like in one level, well, let me point out, first of all levels involve universal physics. You know, there's supposedly realistic physics for the blocks that are in the world.
Yeah. What do you do? Do you blow up stuff? Do you blow up
blocks?
Well,
that's the thing. There's different things you do. Like in the first set of levels that you play, you throw some object. Usually it's a baseball. Now, I haven't played more than a couple hours, so it may expand to be bigger later. But there's like no main game mode. It's like you play the normal mode, and then it involves doing one of several different tasks. And so like the first area or game type is where there's like these blue gems that you have to blow up. So there might be 40 blue gems on the level, and you have to blow them all up. And the goal is usually to do it with a limited number of tosses of the ball, right? And so you actually like you target on the screen, press the A button, and then you actually act like you're throwing it at the screen, you know? And the harder you throw, the harder the ball travels into the blocks. And so, like, there are wooden blocks and steel blocks and then gems, right? And so you want to blow up the gems, but, like, there could be wooden blocks that would fall over if you hit them, you know, so they could fall over into the blue ones. Or you could hit one that's a support beam, make it drop, and then all these gems weigh down a teeter-totter-ish wooden block, which would make them fall and then fall into something else, and so on and so on.
One goal. Where's the skill in this game?
Well, doing it in a limit, it turns into a puzzle.
Okay. Do you have like a limited number of throws or
well,
like?
Yeah. Well, it's the sort of thing like you'll get a gold, you'll achieve gold if you do it in one throw, or you know silver in a few more throws, that sort of thing, right?
Yeah. And so is it depends like on the puzzle. Skill based, or is there a lot of luck involved?
No, it's from what I've played, it seems skill based.
Okay.
You don't feel like you're at the carnival. Like
it seems like it's kind of like, oh, maybe this will fall over the right way and hit this thing.
No, I mean, imagine a game like, imagine The Incredible Machine, right? Where you have to set things up properly, and if you don't do it properly, then you're not going to achieve the goal.
Yeah.
And so imagine if you, let's say you've got, okay, at a carnival, you have a stack of bottles that you have to throw a baseball at. If you throw the baseball at the one on the top, you're probably only going to knock off the one on the top.
Yeah.
If you throw it at the one on the bottom, you could make the rest of them collapse. But it depends where you hit on the bottom. Now, okay. What if there's some other things in the way that might support something else, right? So if you knock a support out, you'll drop a bunch of them, or you can just hit the gems directly. And,
mm-hmm.
and so, I mean, the levels change, right? But that's one example of a gameplay.
Do you feel like you're actually...
I do.
Accurate with the throwing mechanism?
Well, the target, it's very easy to target exactly where you want because you just it's got a reticle on the screen, and when you hold down the button, it doesn't move.
Oh, okay. So you say, like, I want to go there, and then, like, your throw, I guess, determines, like, the...
The strength.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
So, like, you can throw a little bit, and it only knocks things a bit. And so there's other levels where you've got these point blocks where you'll have a large, you know, rectangular box that has a number on it, 10 points, 2 points, 5 points, whatever. And if you knock that... you know, off of the base platform, then you get that many points. But then there's negative blocks, and you want to not knock over the negative blocks. And so they'll be stacked in a certain way where if you're careful, you can get only the yellow point blocks to fall over and not the negative point blocks. Or you might have to get some of those off too, just otherwise it would be really, really hard. Then there's some levels that are like Jenga, where you want to avoid letting whatever object is on the top, like there's a bunch of cows, like baby cows or something, on the top of this piece of wood that's above all of these other Jenga pieces. And so you remove as many as possible, and depending on how many you remove before the cows ultimately fall over, unless you're able to remove every single one of them successfully, that'll determine whether you get the gold, silver, or bronze. And so it's very much like Jenga, where you grab one and you pull it out, and then you can play two-player.
You're not throwing anything.
No, not throwing. You're actually grabbing.
Oh, okay.
And then there's another one where there's like what they call chemical blocks, which are just, you know, a green block instead of a brown one. And if you throw something at it to knock it into another green block, then it explodes. And so that could then trigger off some other elements. I didn't actually play the world that had those in it. I just sort of, I did the training on it.
Well, this sounds pretty cool. And actually, like, I'm very surprised to see something associated with Steven Spielberg.
Is this game actually fun?
A non-narrative game.
It is, but the thing is, I've only played the introductory levels.
Okay.
Which, you know, I'm hoping that eventually it mixes up some sort of, like, Rube Goldberg-style level.
Because everything you've just described has me... not interested at all.
Dude, it sounds fun.
Like,
grab a YouTube video or something during the break.
I've seen some of it, and like it's like make stuff fall over.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I'm concerned that if it's just what I saw, that it would get boring real fast.
Yeah.
It has the potential to be really good, and you can create levels in it, which means I could create a level that has chemical blocks, gems, Jenga blocks. Like, I could mix all the different elements.
Uh-huh.
Rich, what more could
level.
You want? I mean,
are
I know
you, are
there's
you
no,
able
like,
to send
World War
those
II,
levels
like,
to friends
guns or anything?
On your 12-digit code list?
I don't know yet.
Because if you can't, then I just don't care.
Then there's also, like, some Duck Hunt shooting levels that you play with two players. So.
You know what?
That sounds like a
you're shooting
cool
a duck.
It's not ducks. I'm just saying, you know, you're pointing and shooting.
I think the Wiimote is actually less accurate than the Zapper.
I'm going to give you a enormous negatory on that one.
No.
The Zapper? Are you kidding me?
Do you know the way Zapper works?
The Zapper, which had to flash the screen in order to improve accuracy?
No.
Yeah, when you click the button, the duck actually turns into a white rectangle.
Yeah, I know. And so then the Zapper says, am I looking at a white square or not?
Yeah.
And so
what I never tried was just put a white piece of paper in the screen and shoot the
and
screen
then
over and over.
With the Wiimote, like in my house, when there's lights on the ceiling that affect the controller, I have to play in the dark.
Yeah,
because
just,
if
just,
I turn
just
the lights
in the
on,
dark, all right?
Yeah, what's wrong with the dark?
Then the cursor flies everywhere.
What, do you think you're special or something?
So it's completely inaccurate.
Get rid of the halogen bulbs.
Dude, you can't play it in bad conditions
or
like that and use
sunlight,
that as a means of comparison.
You need to entrap yourself into a room with no sunlight at all.
Dude, stop being lame.
No, I'm just saying.
Like, where do you work at, like, the floor of Walmart with, like, 5,000 watt halogen lights?
I'm just saying the game just doesn't even sound fun.
If you have to move to a cave in Afghanistan to play the Wii, so be it. That's how good it is.
Get yes.
It. No, it's not that.
Right. And when we come back, I'm going
to
have enormous...
to burn the rope?
I played it, and
right.
then I listened
okay.
to the
we're
going to
have so much more to say when we come back.
And I want our listeners to Google Burn the Rope and go play that game. It'll take you about 2 minutes if you've played video games before. We'll have more to talk about in relation to that after we're back.
Listening to Arizona's News Talk leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
And I am Alon.
And I'm talking into the intro of the segment on accident.
That's
nah,
Rich.
It was only for a split second. Don't worry about it.
That's okay.
Why are you holding face like you're about to like turn into a giant blueberry or
I'm
something?
I'm all talking, and then Alon's like, shh, and I'm like, oh, okay. Because we're on the air.
All right, so I'm really glad that you guys mentioned Burn the Rope, that we're going to talk about it.
We've got it. Well, here's the thing.
Wait, when did we mention that?
Last segment.
Gotcha.
There's this game I found, and I only found because the credits are funny, and I think Joystick linked to it at some point. So,
would you call it a game?
Yeah.
Yes.
You would call it a game? Okay. Yes. Okay, continue.
Perhaps a training exercise.
It's more of a game than Flow.
You're right.
That's
it is more
fact.
Of a game than
it's
Flow.
It's more of a video game than Flow.
You're absolutely right. Okay.
Continue.
So... it's kind of, for those who aren't familiar with it, it's just this maybe 1 minute long game where it tells you you have to burn the rope. Like, you can throw these axes, like Castlevania style, but they don't do anything. It's just like, your axes won't hurt the big bad guy, just go burn the rope and drop the chandelier on his head. And then you just have to jump up there and burn the rope, which, you know, you have a flame, so whatever. It's really simple, and then the credits roll, and it's a vehicle for this guy like having some interesting funny song for the end, which is just,
oh,
hey,
you
beat the game, you're cool, do you want to go play the game again kind of song.
Do you think that's the purpose of it?
I don't know. But anyway, regardless of what you're going to say the purpose is, it's a very simple training exercise in games, and it kind of gives you some insight into game design and the thought process.
Oh, yes, it does.
Yeah. And the thought process, you know, that goes in place for, okay, we can give them this weapon that's useless, and they have to come up with a new solution, and they have to debate, you know, are they going to continue to try and throw a weapon at somebody or whatever. This game spells it out for you by telling you. But what was funny to me was that, you know, I went through, said, doot, done. Like, it was very much, that was going on in my head. Nothing, no thought, just all done, tap,
right.
tap.
Right.
And then so, Michaela, who's been on the show before, she was playing it, and, like, took a really long time, and at one point she even just about gave up and just wouldn't even do
it. She couldn't figure it out?
It's not that you couldn't figure it out.
But she knew what she was supposed to do.
Well, it flat out tells you what to do.
Right.
So it's not that
she just was
incapable.
No, but I mean, there's a reading comprehension portion.
She did not have the skills.
And then there's a dexterity portion. So
yeah.
So she had trouble in the dexterity.
But you wouldn't even
exercise.
Need to read it if you were an experienced gamer.
The pressing jump and over to land on the platform was too difficult for her.
Apparently. But
I fell a few times.
Her dexterity in just handling the keys.
Well, the keyboard is rather unwieldy, you know, as an input device.
It is,
and
I bet
so.
If we were able to hand her like a gamepad, it would have been a little bit easier. But still, my point when I talk about introducing non-gamers to games, it's upheld here, where control has to be simple and intuitive, and regardless of how simple the actual gameplay is, it doesn't matter. If they flat out tell you what to do, it can be so easy that there's no thought, there's no consideration for, you know, determining what the rules are. You can be told and still fail because you're simply not used to the controls, even if the controls are completely traditional. I mean, it's just left, right, up, down.
Right, but there is a certain kind of, I mean, like, yeah, we're all like laughing while like, oh, dexterity challenge, but there is actually like a significant dexterity aspect to doing this.
You can press space bar to jump too.
All of us are, hold on, all of us are experienced in doing those kinds of mechanics over and over and over in games, you know, since time immemorial, whereas Michaela was not.
Yeah, well, and that's my point. So you look at the success of the Wii, and I mean, Nintendo figured this out. And
I see where you're going.
I mean, I've talked about this before, but it just sort of solidifies the idea, the fact that control is absolutely vital. And that's why I complain, even though I'm used to gaming, right? I complain when a game comes along and just has bad control. This game had perfectly fine control, but it was still limiting the audience because...
It was a little floaty. The jumping was a little floaty.
You gotta just complain about anything.
No, I'm just messing.
So, I mean,
all right.
It controlled better than Castlevania.
Oh, yeah?
All right. So are you guys ready now to discover
the
true meaning of Burn the Rope?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Think about it. Modern action games with all of their fancy graphics and all the impressive effects and all their animation, for the most part, when you get down to the actual essence of the gameplay, are no more challenging and no more sophisticated than the kind of granularity of interaction that you have in this example.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like something like in God of War, right, when you're supposed to do like, you know, to kill a boss, it's exactly analogous to what happens here. They've just made it.
You can't hit them with the special thing.
They've just uncovered
other thing for no
all of this
reason.
Stuff that like gets everyone excited, and they've kind of revealed to you, okay, well, this is what you're actually doing, which is not much.
Where it says just press triangle, just press circle?
No, no, I'm not even talking about those parts. I'm not even talking about like the quick time event style.
Instead of like, okay, it's a boss fight, so instead of just being able to hit the boss with a weapon, you have to go do this thing on the side to make this thing hit the boss.
No, I'm not
like,
even talking
like
about
that
necessarily.
Or...
I'm not even talking about the fact that there's like a sequence of things you have to do to accomplish something.
Let me point out that if both Rich and I can't figure out what you're talking about, we're going to need to simplify your explanation.
I mean, that's kind of what...
This is what I'm talking about. Okay,
Two students of UAT.
Yes, yes. All right,
the University of Advancing Technology.
All right.
And you can visit uat.edu.
This is hard for a lot of people to
hear.
You
missed the sponsorship mention earlier today.
Yes,
this is why I was trying to fit in.
That's awesome.
That our listeners
should
go to UAT.
I'm sorry, I totally steamrolled all over
continue.
That.
I'm trying to get people to visit our sponsor,
yeah,
the
UAT's
University
pretty
of Advancing
sweet.
Technology.
Yeah.
All right. All right. I didn't mean to jump in the middle. I just had to do it.
All right. No, this is a hard concept for a lot of people to grasp because – really, it's very, very difficult for most people to consider the gameplay dynamics separately from everything else in the game, right? I mean, in this, all you're doing is you're just walking up to something and you're burning the rope, right? I mean, it's like, it's almost trivial, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want to simplify even more, it's just you're walking into a specific space in the game and that defines the end.
Right. And you're not just, like, let me put it this way, okay? There's basically... I need to collect my thoughts here for a second.
Please do.
Yes.
Do you want us to play the Jeopardy theme?
No.
Do.
It might be funnier that way. But there's the things that make some of the best action games really good are idiosyncrasies about the way the controls work. And the challenges are in actually, you know, doing certain kinds of manipulations that are, like we were talking about last week, right? We don't really have a language to talk about a lot of these things because they're very subtle aspects of mechanics, right? Now, a lot of the action games that come out these days, there's not a lot of subtlety in the mechanics. Something like God of War, right? So, you know, oh, the graphics look awesome, the animation looks awesome, and in the end, you're not doing a lot. Whereas, you know, there's some other games like... Here, let's see. Here. Like, I don't know, some of the older Castlevania games, you know, like Revenge of Shinobi, that was another older game. That there's a lot of technique to a lot of the old school games.
Are you kidding me? Revenge of Shinobi?
Heck yeah!
What?
Absolutely.
We're talking Genesis?
Yeah.
Really?
Sweet game, yeah.
You can throw an axe in this game.
Or even like Klonoa, right? There's a lot of old school games that had technique to a lot of them.
I did not think I'd hear a reference to Klonoa.
Yes, Klonoa is a fantastic game, by the way.
Are we talking about the original?
Klonoa.
Dude, I couldn't even get past the first level in that game. I just gave up immediately.
Really? That's interesting. Klonoa and Klonoa 2. The Game Boy games are kind of rubbish, but yeah, it's so to me, this is like a satire of modern game design, which focuses 90% on visuals and 10% on the actual subtlety of interaction. And this kind of like exposes really how simplistic the games on an interaction level really are. That's my 2 cents on that.
I mean, I see your point. I don't know how this really exposes it. I think you might have just thought about it.
No, I mean, I didn't just think about it. I thought about it a while ago.
But I mean, like, do you think that was really their intention?
I don't really care what their intention was. That's what it means.
Oh, okay. Can a piece of art mean something without intending to do so?
Yes, and it's completely independent of the original intention, just like Dali said.
Okay.
Just because he couldn't think of deep meaning when he made it doesn't mean it's not there.
Well, I will take your word for it. I'm certainly not familiar with Dali's philosophy.
Yeah, he was nuts. He was insane.
He did make interesting-looking clocks. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I thought it was very nice to see the difference for something that had the absolute simplest gameplay to it, to still see the differentiation between someone who had experience and someone who did not, it certainly demonstrates the need for simple, intuitive controls, because no matter how much training you go through, if someone's muscle memory isn't there, if their experience just isn't there doing even the simplest of tasks,
right,
they will not be interested in your game.
That was an interesting aside, too. That was a really cool angle.
But, I mean, I'm just sure that that's why Nintendo said, we're going to make this thing that everyone's used to. Everyone's used to a remote control. This looks like a remote and has a trigger.
Yeah, or everyone's equally not used to.
I think everyone is used to it. Just because you don't use television, yes.
Well, I never used it to shoot things.
Point well taken. We'll be right back after the break, folks.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
And we're back, Chatterbox Video Game Radio with Alon.
And
I've officially decided I'm going to play Burn the Rope for like hours. Because I'm convinced there has to be some other secrets, like extra weapons and like transformations into like
I
supersonic.
I think you'll find the new bathing suit outfit for the main character.
Oh, yeah.
If you can find out how to break through the wall on the left, there's like three games worth of like content.
There's like a
back
hidden,
there.
like the hidden thing. And
you'll find a lamp trap.
I believe
it's like
it.
A castle.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah, and then it'll be just like GTA.
I'll spend 12 days straight before I give
up. All right, get back to us after 12 days.
All right. Well, Fopo's calling.
Ooh.
He's on the line here. Wants to talk about game design. Do we want to do that, or do you want to talk about a game first?
Yeah, I you know how much I love our callers.
All right, so let's take a call. I know you've got all these games written down that you want to talk about, but we'll do.
We can put that on hold just for our caller.
We'll take a caller first. Hopefully, this caller will speak up loudly so we can hear him. Scott, you are on the air.
Hi guys, can you hear me well?
Yes, I can.
Hey, what's up, Scott?
Yeah, how much? Just calling about your last segment there. I was actually planning on not calling to this week, but. Yeah, you mentioned how game design tends to, these days it tends to not be as, more about graphics and not so much about complexity.
Well, I wouldn't say complexity, but like, to be more specific, like the real, like actual like mechanics and interactions.
Yeah, I actually noticed that when I was playing Zelda Twilight Princess last summer, that I had some issues in the first third dungeon, and it was just, there's actually one spot where to go and use a boomerang to go and carry a bomb up and blow up a rock, chucking it out top of a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
I was stuck there for like hours because it's been like, well, the first time I played a Zelda game before that, apart from like borrowing Ocarina of Time for a weekend, was actually a Link to the Past, so I wasn't actually trained to do that, and Dungeons 2-1 was fine. I just kind of was just not wrapping my brain around trying to, you know, I was able to do that. I was able to go and use a boomerang to go and blow up the rock. And I think it's because these days it's trying to get more of a casual type market, or I'm not even really sure what the actual reason is. But
are you saying they're going more casual than they used to, yet it was too hard for you to figure out?
No, I'm saying Zelda's the exception. Zelda's sort of like the way it used to be.
Oh, okay.
In that case, but Zelda games you can pick up and play within like 10 minutes. For the most part.
I don't really like Twilight
Princess. Well, see, here's the thing. Like, we're not really talking about, like, straight-up difficulty. And, you know, this is getting back to that whole thing I was talking about having, like, a vocabulary to talk about these things. And I'm not commenting about you specifically, but it's like there's a lot more going on than just, oh, this is hard, and, oh, this is easy, you know? And,
oh, I know. It wasn't exactly hard. I didn't actually die till like, level 7, right?
Right.
So
there's levels
it wasn't
in Zelda?
About, like, you know, not being able to go and kill all the bad guys, that was not the issue. It was just the fact that it was so complex, I could not wrap my head around being able to, like Alon was saying several episodes ago, he was playing Ocarina of Time, and he had to go and burn a cobweb. He didn't. He had a stick
right.
In Ocarina of Time, and he was like, how can I go and get through the level? He didn't realize he had to go and light a stick on the torch and burn a cobweb, because he never was told to do that before. It seems like these days, it's not so much along the lines of having very, very deep, complex gameplay as much as it's trying to go and let everyone be able to pick it up and start good, and then, if there's complexity down the road, fine. Like, another example is Grand Theft Auto 4, where there's, like, probably around 10 hours tutorial missions before you actually get to the meat of the game.
Right. Well, I think that there's... the way that I would characterize it is that there's more, like, there's a shift of where the complexity is, because doing real design is really, really hard. And there's other things that game developers in general know how to do better than straight up like mechanics design. And so I think that considering all the other things that happen in game development that's risky these days, I think that they try to basically like, well, let's do what we know how to do that's easy, that we know works. And, you know, I think that that's the main reason why you see, you know, where all these games are going. There's more like complexity in the places of the game that aren't really like, you know, the mechanics end of it specifically.
Are you saying that basically the designers aren't paying attention to some of the subtle details that make a game have character? Like,
fantastic! Instance, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Like in, awesome. In certain Castlevania games, like I think back to the original one, and if I remember correctly, you could jump in the air with momentum forward or back, right, rather than jumping straight up. You could jump forward and then, you know, press the other direction on the control pad and instantly change direction of your character. Even if it's not in that game, there are some games that allow you
right.
to do that, and
right,
then there are
right.
other games that
right.
don't allow you to control motion in the air.
Right.
And that's a that changes from game to game, but it drastically changes the actual gameplay because it changes what abilities you have for your character. It also changes if it's going to be more difficult or not. Like if you can't stop him from moving to the right after you've started jumping
right.
because that's more realistic.
Right.
It also makes it harder because you have less control over preventing him falling into a pit or something like that.
Right.
And so that's a design decision that has to be made for how you're going to, you know, allow the user to play through. And it really makes a difference. So is that what you're talking about? Like,
yes, but I do have to add a qualification to that. It's not so much about whether you have like so many moves in your player package or you don't have so many moves or if this jumping move that gives you extra control exists or doesn't exist. It all comes down to the exact way that those moves are implemented, what the timing is like, how they look to the player. These are all these subtle things that really like...
Having an audio cue for something or
right,
not.
Right, or not just having it, but what it sounds like, what it feels like. How do all these things work together? What does that feel like, right? Like these are the kinds of things where to really design and implement properly, you need to have somebody who's working at a very low level tweaking the thing who has a really, really good sense of design. The way that a lot of designs go wrong is that a lot of times these game projects are so huge that we're going to have like some designers, you know, and it's not a discredit to them. It's usually it's because of the circumstance, because like the project has so many people working on it. You know, they kind of like work in this insular way where they're like, okay, well, I'm going to come up with what you do conceptually and someone else implements it. And that's always a problem because now there's necessarily a disconnect because the guy who has the idea of the conceptual mechanic is not the guy making it, so he has to talk to the other guy and show him what's in his head, and there's always translation difficulties. And when you're not like – when you're trying to tune something and tweak something that's not really yours, that's like somebody else's, then it just – I've never seen a case where it's it happens smoothly. You know, you always lose something, you know?
I appreciate what you're saying.
Yeah, so that's where I'm coming from.
And you think that Burn the Rope is an example?
Well, I think Burn the Rope is an example of what I said before, which I don't really feel like reiterating, but yeah.
Basically,
hey, I got a question for you, Era.
Right on.
Okay, training missions. Love him or hate him.
How is he still on the phone?
He broke through.
He's...
I love, quiet.
Like, what's going on?
No, no, I think I like this question.
Was it my responsibility to hang up on him? All right, I'm going to hang up on you in a second, but good question. Right. Let's go.
Go ahead.
He asked training missions good or bad.
Is that what he asked?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, he's gone
I
now.
Think.
Well, now he's gonna be gone.
Okay. Yes. Only the best radio here at KFNX. All right. That's an awesome question because I love this opportunity to rant about this one.
We've got 1 minute.
Okay, training is really good, but not when they're explicitly marked as training missions. Because then you're like, oh, now I have to play missions like 1 through 3 before I'm really playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a smart designer, there's no reason why you can't weave the actual training portion of the game into the game itself and not make it feel like you're doing a tutorial.
Yeah.
So I think that like, I don't know, there's a lot of tutorials have become really popular because it's like, oh, well, we want to train the player, right? But I think it's a bad idea to do it in a way so that the player feels like they're being trained.
Yeah.
And the best games like Super Mario Brothers. Was there training missions in Super Mario Brothers?
Well, it's left, right,
yes.
Jump.
Hell no.
But like,
There were, but they weren't noted as...
No, I mean like the original Super Mario Brothers.
Still, yeah, there were training elements.
That's what I'm saying, but they weren't called out as such.
Yeah.
And so it didn't feel that way. And that's essential, I think, to making a really cool game.
Okay.
And that's my other two cents.
I was going to say, Call of Duty 4 has really good training, quote-unquote.
The Call of Duty training?
Well, it's like there's like a training mission, but
it's definitely training, but it still makes it interesting.
Well, that's not so bad either.
You know, Sergeant or Private, go grab that grenade.
Yeah.
Whatever. So, all right, we'll be back after the break. We got more stuff.
Welcome back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio, and I'm Ara.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm Alon.
That's me.
What's my name?
Your name is Richard.
Daddy.
I've avoided, saying my name except for the first segment, I guess.
You think that we would forget?
No.
All right, but what I won't forget is to mention UAT, the University of Advanced Technology, and how you can visit their website to learn more about what they have to offer in terms of game design schooling.
Awesome.
Nice. Not just like, you know,
and how
hamburgers.
To make training missions integrated into
like
the rest of the game.
Anything.
That could be a class.
So, you know, during the break, we were just watching
Mario.
Like a self-played Mario
I can't believe you've never seen stuff like that
before. That's just like an exaggerated
that's
Rube
so
Goldberg.
Three months ago.
What you just missed is he finally gets to the end of the level, and then they have some big thing come and just squish him and die before the level's technically over.
Okay.
Like it's showing the last clips. Anyway, right before the break, Fopo, one of our... We called him Scott, right? His name's Scott, right? But on the online chat, he's Fopo. So he asked, training exercises good or bad?
Yeah.
And you did not really have the opportunity to answer.
No, I totally did.
What?
Yeah, I said preferably no, because it's better to integrate it in the actual game.
I had the impression that we wanted to talk more about it.
No, that's pretty much all I have to say about it.
Oh, okay. Well, then you did answer.
Yeah.
I don't know. Call of Duty is awesome. I could talk about Call of Duty all day.
I think we all agree that we would love to see them implemented into the actual gameplay. That would be better.
Or have either of you played Half-Life or Half-Life 2?
Yeah.
Those games are really good examples of how there's like it just as the game progresses, it's like perfect for like gameplay wise. Like you're not really confused on what to do. Like it's not a training mission, but it's like getting into the full character and those games are just amazing.
I'm convinced pretty much every game has training material at the beginning of the game, and it's a question of whether or not you realize it. And so a game like Roblox that I've just played and has literal training levels, like you can't play the normal levels until you go through training.
Yep.
But it's also, especially with the Wii, like it's very
prevalent. I think a lot of Wii games are like that. They're just like, this is what you need to do. Move the controller this way. Yeah. And it tells you blatantly what you have to do.
Often it will actually have pictures of hands holding the controller on the screen.
Yeah. Otherwise, playing Wii where you have no idea what to do.
Yeah. It's so different than what's out there now. So they kind of have to. But you can still integrate it into the game. You don't have to do actual training missions.
Yes. Transparency is best, but not mm-hmm. literally.
Yeah. All right. So, again... You've got a bunch of games that you want to talk about. So we've got about
I
5 or 10 minutes here.
I gotta talk about Knights, you guys.
We're talking about the new Knights for the Wii.
The new Knights game, yes.
Mm-hmm. Didn't I actually talk about this after I played it?
I don't know. I never played it.
I don't know, but whatever you had said, I completely don't remember because this just completely floored me.
Okay.
You guys may know that I'm a huge fan of the original Knights.
Prove it.
I think everybody is.
It was a really sweet game. Awesome game.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Lots
of
fun.
Or may just have blown our minds at the time and would be considered awfully mediocre these days.
Absolutely not.
We should try to go play it and see if it's still good.
Okay.
I've got the Saturn.
Let's do it.
Okay. So here's what happens when I put in Knights for the Wii. Okay? And this is, I have to say, probably the best example of how not to remake a game. And I'm completely not even talking about the Wii interface per se. If you exclude that completely, it's still the worst
because you can
best
use a GameCube controller.
Example of how not to remake a game.
You
this
have
is
that
why.
Option? That's good.
I don't know if you remember the original Knights. Like, they had a couple of intro sequences.
Dude, I even have the original Christmas Knights.
Okay.
I remember Knights.
Okay, so you remember, like, the new one. Like, it kind of starts off in a similar way as the old one. Like, there's a kid going to sleep, and he has a dream, and whatever.
Sort of the theme.
Right.
Yeah.
And on the Saturn version, you know, those cinemas, obviously, they're, like, kind of crude and very brief, right?
Yeah.
But they had, like, they had a cadence and a rhythm to them, right? which was in this new one just completely obliterated, I think partially because they drew them out.
Oh, okay? I did have a problem with the cinematics because, ironically, the main character, Knights, is supposed to be a boy, and the bad character is a woman.
Yes.
Yet
now she's a
woman's voice for Knights and a man's voice for the bad guy who's a woman.
And the other thing, too, is she talks.
That's really weird.
Okay, Knights talks? No, don't talk.
Yeah, Knights should not
talk. Do not talk.
That's like giving Link a voice.
No, it's
Link
even worse.
Link has a voice.
No, he has sound effect voice just going, he doesn't talk. He doesn't say things.
Understand how bad this is because not only does it have a female voice, but a horribly irritating British accent.
Yeah.
I'm like, why do you have a British accent? Like, how does this go with Knights? Anyway, putting all that aside, right? First of all, the game starts, okay? And then there's this long cinematic out of nowhere. This is completely boring.
You have to watch it.
And then I'm walking up to Notopia, and what is this? Here's this effing owl comes over there. I'm like, oh, I'm an owl. Welcome to Nightopia. I'm like, who the hell are you?
Okay, and the owl was annoying. See, I'm remembering it now that you bring it up.
What is the point of this owl? The owl contributes absolutely nothing to the experience. Okay, if I was playing Saturn Knights,
this is Owl in Zelda.
I would be flying around. I would be kicking some butt. I would be flying through rings, enjoying myself. Meanwhile, I have to hear this owl do this little monologue about we are the land of dreams and whatever stuff nobody cares about.
Ironically, this is actually essentially adding training into the game.
Well, here's the thing, right? It's like, now that they have money to spend on cinematics, they spend all this money on doing these retarded cinematics, and it actually detracts from the game because you're like, I'm wondering when I'm going to start playing. And now, once you finally start playing, right, you're not as Knights. No, you have to walk up in this retarded 3D world.
Into
the little cage to free Knights, and then you start playing.
Didn't you do that in the original one as well? I think you did. I don't think you started off as Knights.
I know you could
definitely walk around as the boy.
But it was 5 seconds, right? And this is it's so protracted in this one.
What bummed me out is that you actually have to walk. It's got one of those things where it's a central access level where you can walk around and collect things before you go to the worlds that you're supposed to play.
Right. It's all of this indirection that's added that basically takes you away from the essence of the game, which was really bothersome. And to go back to the cinematics again. I mean, Knights is, explaining to the kid, how they, merge their bodies or whatever by, some kind of, weird, secret handshake
he's
embrace.
He's not making this up.
This is funny.
And I'm what? Why? No, just makes no sense.
I need to
Knights
see this
takes
game.
Over the body of the
We need
young
to do
girl.
This. We need. I need to play the first game.
Are better not explained.
And
they
then
just are.
Play the Wii game and see what it's like.
Is Knights available on the Wii as a downloadable game?
No,
you gotta buy it.
Yeah, buy it.
All right, well, we both have it.
No, I mean, I rented it and I took it back.
I have Knights for Wii.
Yes.
The original one.
I do have the original.
Okay.
We can do a comparo. Your jaw will drop to the floor. I'll have to pick it up with
that
saliva.
Let's do that.
Do you have the Saturn 3D controller?
Because if I've ever played Knights, I was young and might have played it for 10 minutes.
Oh, kind of. You know,
I think I played a demo of Knights on the Saturn.
What were you three
at
when
my
Knights
cousin's
came
house?
Out?
Okay, no, Knights was good, but the second one.
So let's do it.
And the whole thing where you put the animals that you've collected into this special second world thing,
and then you have
to look at them. But
I don't know. You have to talk to the Knightopians, and I'm like, what is with all this talking? There's just no reason for all this talking. Stop talking. Let's just action.
Everything's a soap opera.
It sounds like the amount that you're annoyed by Knights on the Wii is about how annoyed I was at Kingdom Hearts 2 when that game came out.
People liked Kingdom
I don't know
Hearts
if you've
2.
Ever played Kingdom Hearts or Kingdom Hearts 2, but...
Yeah, but the difference is, the cinematics in that game were actually, fairly well done.
Kingdom Hearts 2...
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. I played that game for 4 hours just to get to, something... close to a video game, and then my data got erased, never played it again.
Yeah, well, that game is
worst
just,
4 hours
you just
ever.
Watch half
okay,
game
let's get
anyway.
Away from the whining here. We've only got another minute left.
What are we going to talk about?
Well, we've been talking about, in the past shows, the Grand Theft Auto 4 contest through all games, and I wanted to recap on these things. Our website right now says to listen to this episode to find out who the winner is. I think things got a little bit delayed, especially after the big Hacksaw thing that happened at All Games. So we don't know the final winner yet, but I did submit my vote. Because the way that the grand prize winner is selected is through votes from the show hosts. We all work together to find the winner. So I voted last evening. I must say the Chatterboxer, the Chatterbox entry was one of the best, but I couldn't vote for our own. So I chose someone else.
Like,
but
go listen to these. Can they go listen to them?
Well, they can listen to the original ones.
Yeah.
They voted, but I don't think there's a central place to listen to them all for our listeners.
Heck, don't go listen to them, actually.
Just listen to ours.
Like, just don't go listen to the other ones. Like, seriously? It'll be the worst 10 minutes of your life.
Anyway, ours is pretty good, so I feel really confident, and I hope that our guy John wins. And even if he doesn't win, I feel good knowing that our listeners are apparently the best and most creative.
Yes!
Actually, it wasn't terribly creative, but it was the most well-produced. Anyway, we will be back next week with another wonderful show. Go to chatterboxgameshow.com to learn more about us. Thank you, everyone.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bass are belong to us.